You know, one thing of we've discussed many times is the futility of trying to answer unanswerable questions. And I think that you're exactly right, Sam, that the reason a lot of people reject Christianity is because of these things and even a belief in God. But I think it's because we have pretended to have the answers. And because we've pretended to have the answers, then they question God. And it ought to be us they're questioning, not God, in these situations. One thing that I had to take into my life after 56 years of living is, I don't know why, I don't know where, but I know that everything is eventually going to work in my favor. I don't care what the devastation is, I don't care what the circumstance. There, we talked about it a few weeks ago on the webcast, and we were saying this is true eternal optimism. There, at never, and Sam really said it, in the moment, you never know. You cannot judge what's happening, even as tragic as it is, as to what the outcome down the road is going to be. Every story that we know that has a great story of victory was preceded by a story of great tragedy. There is no story. If you took every person who ran for office of the president, that our two candidates who had every real possibility, each of them had a real possibility of becoming president. One who was laying in a prison camp in Hanoi not that many years ago, and another one, you know, born to biracial parents and into poverty and having to be raised by his grandparents. And, you know, each of them could have looked in their situations and said why, and anguished and over these things. I've gone through a situation in my family that I wouldn't know my grandchildren if I saw them on the street today. I haven't seen them in over 4 years now. But you know, there is something so that life has taught me in just the process and getting rid of the religious garbage and having to have the answers for everything. I tell you, the most comforting thing that comes to me is, I don't know. Oh God, I don't know. Thank God, I don't know. And you know what? I have had to become comforted by what I do know. And that's what you've been learning all this week. And I think Sam is so right. But I think the key to that is that we as Christians have got to stop offering answers for things we don't know what the hell we're talking about. We just don't know, you know. And it's the, you know, I remember reading this thing from a lady who had cancer one time, and she talked about all of the, there was about six different people that came to visit her, and one of them told her, you know, well, the reason you're having this cancer is because there's sin in your life. And the other one was, well, it's because, you know, you drank coffee all your life. And the next one came in and said, well, it's because you were in rebellion against your husband. And the next one came in and said something else. And then she talks about the friend that came in that had absolutely nothing to say whatsoever and simply came in and sat and expressed their love and their concern and their care, and that was the only person that comforted their heart, that all of the other visitors added torment to the cancer that she was going through. Let me tell you something, folks. Sometimes the greatest thing in relationships with your friends, when we feel so pressured, do you know that's why people don't show up around people who are in trouble? We don't know what to say. You know, it's horrible that when you're the sickest and you're in pain and you're going through a divorce and you're going through financial ruin and all of this, your friends disappear. And we say, well, now we know who our real friends are. Not necessarily true. They may be such good friends, they don't want to come around because they don't know what to say. Because we've been told you got to know what to say. And we have to break that addiction over our lives of having to have the answers for those around us. We don't have to have the answers. Folks, we might as well not have to have the answers because we don't. We just don't. But there can be an eternal optimism that the final chapter hasn't been Rhett, I've talked to several of you guys, and we've been talking, and many of you that I've talked to, you've told me about your situation, and most every one of you have heard me say, but the final chapter hasn't been written yet, has it? See, we don't know yet. We just don't know yet what the outcome is going to be. And to try to understand things that we don't understand when we've got so much that we do understand. Oh my, what a powerful thing. And the final words that I want to share with you, I pray more than anything that the teaching and the understanding that I bring to you breaks your addiction to your faith. More than anything, I hope that what I say to you breaks your addiction to your faith. Jesus, that's the reason I taught on the things that I've taught on up to this point. And folks, it's great what you believe, but let me tell you, you get addicted to your own faith and you'll die in your own religion with no answers. With no answers at all. The greatest faith you'll ever walk in is, I don't know. I'm telling you, that is a powerful piece to walk in. Most of us will go back, though, that go back to the Word of Faith movement, know that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And we used that verse and we said, and I remember Norval teaching on it, and he would start out with the word now. It says, now faith, not after a while faith. You got to have faith right now. Totally obliterating any contextual understanding of the verse. This is Hebrews. This is a book of Hebrews, letting us know about the completed work of the cross. And by the time we get to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, he tells us what faith has now become. Not now faith will bring you this, this, and this. It is now that the cross has taken place. It has brought the substance of everything that was ever hoped for and the evidence of nothing that was everything that was never seen before the cross. Now faith is this. This is what faith is. If faith has manifested the substance of everything that was ever hoped for, and it brought the evidence of everything it's not seen, why are we trying to teach you how to have faith to get what's already been got through Jesus? Now faith is the substance. Oh my God. I'm telling you, next to getting set free from confessing my sins, one of the most important things that I got set free from was my faith. Oh my God, when I got set free from my faith, I realized I don't believe enough of anything to blow up a paper bag, much less move a mountain. I don't have what it takes, folks. I don't have what it takes. But I am loved. I have been redeemed by the one who has had all the faith that is needed for Mike Williams to function in this life. He believes in me. I do not believe in Jesus nearly as much as he believes in me. Nowhere near. He believes in me so far more, so much more than I believe in him, that it can't even be measured. My faith in him is like a teaspoon full of water. His faith in me is like the oceans that covers the seas. He believes in me. His faith has brought the substance. His faith has brought the evidence of things that were never seen. Never seen in Mike Williams. Never seen righteousness, holiness, perfection, redemption. All of these powerful things. He believes in me. He has faith in me. And I function by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If Paul had the privilege of doing it, why can't I have the privilege of living that way? Of course, we get thrown then by a verse that comes up six verses later, which says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Because we're right in the middle. This verse comes 6 verses after we've already started the Hall of Fame of the heroes of faith. And it says that they all accomplished something. This all, by faith, this one did this. By faith, this one did that. This, by faith, this one did this. But you didn't read the rest of it. It says these all, having obtained a good report, received not the promise. The book isn't telling you how well their faith worked. It's telling you their faith did not work. That's amazing. The list that we use to try to emulate and say by faith, man, we can, let me tell you something. You know what? By faith, Dr. Sam became a good doctor. But how was that faith demonstrated? He studied. He worked. That's an action of faith. He did what he could. He had put forth effort. All of you have done things by faith. But you know what your faith has never done? Your faith has never obtained a promise from God. Your faith has never obtained something from God that you needed from God. Your faith has been applied so you could do what you had the ability to do if you put effort into it. But your faith obtaining something from God, honey, it ain't never been done on the face of planet Earth. Now, they did all these wonderful things. They escaped the sword. Mighty things happened. Incredible things happened. But these all died in faith, having never received the promise. But now, faith is the substance of everything this whole book full of people hoped for. The evidence of everything they never saw. Not if you apply your faith, you can create things out of nothing. There's nothing that needs to be created. The Creator has already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You have all things. You have this treasure in earthen vessels. The power of your belief is not to get something in you. We are trying to convince you to believe what God believes about you so you can release what is in there. There is nothing, please hear me clearly, there is nothing in heaven that you need. Nothing. How could we believe that there's something in heaven? We all get this mental attitude, you know. It's just like what James said. It pops back in there every time, you know. We need to get that response from heaven. And I'm telling you what, that is the renewing of our minds. That is the saving of our soul that gets us broken out of those patterns. Folks, I believe that incredible things can happen, but it's not going to happen because there's somebody pulled the right lever and God released something out of heaven. There is nothing in heaven you need. Everything that was in heaven was brought to you in the body of the living God through Jesus Christ, and you have all things. This treasure is an earthen vessel. Everything that pertains to life and godliness. You're not waiting for approval. See, that's the reason the whole approval issue is done with. You see, you don't have to go through that because the approval was so that you could receive. But there was nothing you could get to be approved, so God said, I'm going to give them everything and then approve of them. Wow. How many people have lived their lives in tragedy by getting stuck in verse 6, misinterpreting verse 1? For without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How diligently? And then all of the comparisons that were given in Hebrews chapter 11, he says these all died in faith, never receiving the promise. Why? Well, you got to read the end of the... I would love to read this entire thing, but it's our last session. Good stuff. Verse 39... Yay. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39. And these all, having obtained a good report. Oh, my goodness. They got a good report card out of it. What mighty faith. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, Received not. These all, having obtained a good report, received not the promise. God, having provided something better for us. Something better than what? This whole issue of Hebrews chapter 1 all the way up through chapter 11. Something better. God provided something better for you rather than those that believe that come to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God provided something better for you but without faith it is impossible to please God. God provided something better for you than those that seek Him must believe. It is demanded that you believe, and you must believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God provided something better for you. Wow. God provided something better that they, without us, all of those that we are trying, this is so weird, all of those we're trying to attain their level of faith, it says they without us, they would have never been made perfect if it hadn't been for us. It was us coming, being on this side of the cross that reached back and perfected them. Wow. If it hadn't been for you, these guys would only still had a good report. That's all they'd have got out of their faith. But now, because of you, having received the promise of God through the faith of God, your existence is the validation of their perfection. Covers the ages, folks. It reaches as far back as it possibly can reach. It reaches as far forward as is necessary. There is no end to His mercy. His mercy endures forever. I hope you get so set free from your own faith, totally delivered from your own faith, delivered from your own belief about God. Next time you have a wild idea, a good idea about God, say, it's not as good as His idea about me, so I'm going to just go on. God has better ideas about me than I have about Him. God has a better revelation about me than I have about Him. God has a better insight about me than I will ever have about Him. So why am I going to try to live by what I believe about God when what God believes about me is absolute perfection? the thing that influences life and existence on planet Earth is not what you believe. The thing that influences and transforms life is when you are believed in. Did you hear Kim's testimony? See, I know this couple, Kim and Arlene. I know the dynamics of their relationship. And while I know that it is one of mutual respect and love and admiration, I know that Arlene's belief in him, when Kim doesn't believe in himself, Arlene still does. Arlene still believes in him. He may doubt himself every day, but there's not a day that Arlene ever doubts who he is and what he is. And that reality, tell you what, folks, it'll wake you up. The best part of waking up is approval in your cup. I hope you walk away from here free from your faith. Is that weird?
Wonderful.
Isn't that weird? I walked away freed from my faith from the GospelRevolution.com convention. But I also walked away with absolute confidence of what his faith declares me to be. And the mixture of my pathetic faith with his perfect faith just sounds like mixing the blood of bulls and goats with the blood of Jesus. It sounds like mixing law with grace. For me to try to add my faith to his faith? I mean, that sounds sick anymore. You know, that sometimes eventually things just get sickening to you. And it's like, my gosh, me trying to add my faith to God's faith when his faith has been perfected, his faith perfected me. And my faith now has some ability to work a lucky charm. I never dreamed in all of my years of teaching that the culmination of any conference that I would be putting on, sponsoring, or speaking at, that the culmination of it would be the freedom from your own faith. Walk free, you precious people, because there is a faith that you can trust in instead of trying to use your faith to try to trust. You're free.